All right. I have this nagging feeling that I gave this lesson last week. So if I did, pretend like you don't remember it. I couldn't remember. I work on these to revitalize them. And then as I come to them, I say, wait a minute, I was just over this. But I don't remember. But in the name of Christ, this is the promise of being in the name of Christ. That was last week? Okay. Let's pretend like this is the first time we've heard this. Oh, my goodness, look at this. So just quickly then, Christ's guarantee of answered prayer, John 14, 13 to 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you ask, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So this is a guarantee of answered prayer. The problem, of course, is that we know by practical experience, he doesn't answer every prayer. And when we are praying, we say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. You know. So what's wrong here? He didn't answer Paul's prayer when he asked for the removing of the thorn in the flesh. And Christ made room for him to say no when he said, let this cup pass from me, but not my will thine be done. And God's will wasn't that. John 15, 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. The context here is, I have chosen you to do a job for me. And I want you to bring forth fruit and that your fruit will be good fruit, that it will remain, you see. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Again in John 16, 23, 24, and 26. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. He's actually talking about when he's gone and the Holy Spirit is here. So he won't be around for us to ask him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I don't have to do that. It'll work out automatically as you ask the Father in my name. So the important thing here is that we recognize not every prayer that crosses our lips or crosses our mind will be answered, but he does make a guarantee that what is asked in his name, he will do it. That must mean something other than what we were just saying. Close your prayer with, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So the precise meaning of praying in Christ's name, we find the practical meaning of the term in the Old Testament, and this is 1 Samuel 25, 5 to 9. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and a rich man, greet him in my name. So it's not in their own name, in his name. Represent me to him. The Hebrew, ask him in my name of peace. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. Peace just everywhere. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. We actually worked as bodyguards, as sheep guards. So our soldiers here, the hundreds of people with me, didn't take your sheep, didn't hurt your shepherds, though we could have. We're kind of bandits roaming around, Robin Hood's men type of thing, he probably didn't make the reference to Robin Hood, but you know, the idea is, he said, all the while they were there, we were taking care of them. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thy eyes, for we come in a good day. And here's why they have come. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. Nancy had a comment.
Well, he starts by saying, you've got shearers. They've got all the flock
Yes.
So they would have lots of provisions right there, like feasting kind mm-hmm. of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good time for them to go and say, you've got extra stuff, can you send us some?
Right. So it was not unreasonable, and though he didn't ask them to guard his sheep, they did it voluntarily. And so if you appreciate what we did, what we volunteered to do, please give us something to eat. It'd be a great help to us. But asking in his name, it's an official thing. It's where the Lord, the Master, says to his servants, you speak to that person, not in your name, not what you want, but in my name and what I have said you should do. You catch that distinction? To ask in the name of Christ is to ask your prayer request as Christ himself would ask. We pray for help to accomplish his business. This is why, to accomplish his business, Paul thought that getting rid of the thorn in the flesh would be a benefit. And God answered him saying, no, it would not be a benefit. So this, you know, wasn't helping the business of Christ. It means to pray to further the work of Christ. So it's not about help me get over my cold, except that if I'm healthy, I can do a better job for you. You see, there's that part of it. So the official business of Christ, what is that? We have it in the Great Commission. We're to pray for whatsoever we need to accomplish the ministry Christ set for us. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. He starts out with a promise of power, ends with a promise of partnership. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, his promise of power. And so, three things. Go ye therefore and teach, the word meaning, make disciples of all nations. This is personal soul winning. So you may ask him in his name to help you in personal soul winning. This is when you are speaking to someone trying to win them to Christ. Then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is bringing your converts into the church where baptism is done and having them become members of the church. So they got saved. And those people need to get baptized, so you bring them to the church for that, or wherever the church is baptizing. Arias Gonzalez sends us a picture of people baptizing in big swimming pool, so I'm pretty sure that's not in the church. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, that's the third part, and once they're connected with the church, they are in the group whose purpose is the perfecting of the saints, the mending of the nets, the mending of the people, putting them in proper working order. And then he gives the promise of presence. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The word here is age. The word, the end of the age, end of the church age at the rapture. Amen. So, and I can go skip over the lightly this next part. Notice things other than prayer that may be done in the name of Christ. I found these and thought just might be worth looking at because not everything has to be prayer in the name of Christ. But Matthew 18, 5 and 20, who shall receive such a little child in my name? This is helping one that's in need. And the person who receives such a one in my name receiveth me. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So these are following Christ's program. This is how we are to treat people. You see. Mark 9:39, but Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. And so those who give honor to Christ, that is done in his name. Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So again, and Christ uses this at the end of the tribulation period to judge the Gentiles, how they acted. And so you didn't give me any water, you didn't give me any clothing, you didn't visit me when I'm sick. They when would he see you? And he says, in that you did it to the least of mine. So this is that same principle in my name. Mark 16:17, these are the signs that follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. This is there's only one devil, but any plural is the word demons, daimon. They shall speak with new tongues. And so these are the miracles that accompanied the coming of the church. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So here's the Father doing the business of Christ, their business, the new covenant being fulfilled, Christ having having presented his blood before the very throne of God. We find then that he sends the Holy Spirit. So the Father follows the grand new covenant plan. And then in 1 Corinthians 5:3-5, for verily, I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged or determined already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. A man sinning blatantly in the church as a member. And he says, you shouldn't be rejoicing that we let him come anyway. We're so broad-minded. He said, you should be kicking him out of the church. You should not count him a member when he is in open sin. So he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, my spirit will be hovering there because it's October. No. But he says, my spirit will be there. And so what will you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh? And that being under the umbrella of protection of membership in the church, this is actually God's way of holding us under his protection. To remove that means that the devil has a little more direct access to people. So deliver unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. This is sickness, illness, the judgments of God. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That this will convict him, say, I need to get right with God, and seeks the forgiveness of the church and comes back. Purifying the church according to Christ's program. And then Christ, our example in prayer. Christ on earth lived as the example to every believer. Peter tells us that even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Specifically here, his example while suffering. As we suffer, we should suffer like him. We're not fighting back, we're not kicking, we're not spitting, we're quiet, receive it, let God handle it. So he showed us his unswerving dedication to his plan of salvation, come whatever. He showed us how prayer was needed to accomplish his business. And these other verses just show how important prayer was to him, and therefore should be to us in his program as we're praying in his name. Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke 5:15-16, but so much more went out of fame abroad him, of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Plural multitudes, just multitude on multitude, people just scrambling to get together to be healed or to bring grandpa to be healed or whatever. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You can't just keep on going. You can't keep doing and doing and doing until you are entirely filled with the power of God. So he said, I could go more and reach more people, but I need quietness in prayer. So he goes to the wilderness, no people, and he prayed. Luke 6:12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. I've done things that caught my attention and I stayed up all night. I was working on a computer program back in the early days when computers were just little things. And I learned basic language and working out things, and then it didn't quite work, so I'd go over it again, and then I'd look up, and it'd be 6 o'clock in the morning, and, oh, man. But I have to confess, I haven't just been so burdened that I prayed all night, but Christ was. Luke 5:16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed, and then Luke 9:28, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, that's a full week, he took Peter and John, James, went up into the mountain, into a mountain to pray. That was the transfiguration of Christ. But he went up there to pray, and God answered in a special way. So let us then be very careful to follow the business of Christ and ask for things concerning that business in the name of Christ.